Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick word from our newest sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is your one-stop shop for tickets for everything from live theater and concerts to sporting events like Rays games. SeatGeek uses a color-coded scale to show you where the best deals are, with green being good and red being bad. If you haven't used SeatGeek before, we have a special deal just for you. Use code RAISETHEROOF, that's RAISE spelled R-A-Y-S, at checkout for $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Again, that's code RAISETHEROOF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring us, and let's get back to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. It's time to raise the roof for our latest spring training episode. Welcome back, everyone, to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. It's just a solo pod. I'm your host, Alex Murphy. Gibby and Evan aren't here today because they're busy doing other things. But we will be having them on in future podcasts. Do not worry. We're going to get the band back together. Three amigos will return. In the meantime, we do have a very, very special guest on today. We're going to be talking a lot of spring training stuff, a lot of recent things that happened, signings, injuries, the recent trip to the DR, things like that. Proud UF grad, and hopefully a team. I think Florida's gonna be making the tournament. I think they're pretty comfortably in the tournament now.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah. Adam Berry, MLB.com reporter for the Tampa Bay Rays. This is a very, 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 very long reunion coming back to the podcast. This is a second time podcast appearance for Adam. Adam, it's been a bit. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Like we were just talking about before, a lot of life changes since we last spoke, but good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mean, let the people know what's been going on with you, because I know that, I know a lot's been going on with you, and I know along with that, you know, you've still been staying hard on the Rays beat.
Yeah. Still doing the Rays beat. I mean, sheesh, since the time we talked, I was just coming out of the Pirates beat. So, you know, moved and had a baby. That's a lot in and of itself. So, Yeah, that's kind of the excitement around here, you know, settled in a little bit closer to home and everything. It's been great, but you know, it's a lot of time on the Rays beat and back for another year now.
Yeah. Well, first off, congrats on the baby. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Great to
Thank
hear.
You.
Hopefully a future Rays fan, depending on how things work.
She went to her first game last season. It was actually
there we go.
Yeah. She went
there
with my wife and her grandparents and had a great time.
Yeah, I was going to say she'll appreciate. I mean, I don't know how much she'll get to appreciate of America's ballpark, but, you know, hopefully at least a little bit before hopefully they move into a new stadium.
Right.
But, you know, you've been watching this team throughout spring camp, spring training now. You know, just first off, I wanted to get your thoughts about what you've seen so far, because I know, again, a lot of people are, you know, wins and losses don't necessarily matter, but they matter in some way in terms of just seeing how guys are doing, how guys are developing. So from what you've seen, how is spring training looking right now?
I've always said that it's spring training, performance matters, but results don't necessarily matter.
Yeah.
It matters how guys look, how they're performing, how they're progressing, how they're developing, what they're working on. And the wins and losses don't necessarily matter. I know they can eat at some people, and even some people within the team or some people within the game do kind of get fixated about, like, you want to walk off the field after shaking hands or whatever. But that's not the point of spring training. You know, it's to get ready for the season. I always say that a good spring training is a healthy spring training. And it hasn't necessarily been that for the Rays so far, which I'm sure we'll get into. But you know, you've seen some guys take steps forward. Jonathan Hernandez looked really good. That's the kind of guy that you expect to come in and have a big spring. Taj Bradley had looked really good before his injury. That's another one. Like, when you're looking for guys to take steps forward, it does kind of start here, because they know they need to come in good shape. Mm. And some guys have done that. You know, I tend to not worry about veterans in spring training. You know, they're guys who have been there, done that before. They'll figure it out during the season. So there's a little less focus on that. But you know, you've seen some guys come in and you know, really impress and stand out a little bit. And we've seen transactions, we've seen moves, we've seen injuries and international trips. So it's been quiet, relatively speaking, I think on a national scale, but still certainly plenty eventful.
Yeah. So first off, I do want to talk about the injuries, because I know J-Lo was one of them, and then Taj was a recent one. I know it seems like Josh is going to be pretty seems like he's ready to go for spring training, or, you know, ready to go for opening day, if not getting ready to, you know, go for spring training. But it seems like there's definitely something going on with Taj.
Yeah, well, Josh is going to play, planning to play Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday will get in as a DH. And the challenge there is, I mean, you have basically 10 days to get ready for opening day. And a lot of guys, veteran types usually want 30 to 50 at bats in spring training at least. And he's going to have to hustle to get those while not playing every day so he doesn't re-aggravate anything with the hip. So there's a little bit of a give and take there. And, it's obviously just testing it out at game speed and making sure that he's healthy and ready to go. So that's kind of one to watch here soon. Not just that he gets back, but that he gets back, gets the reps he needs. Because think about like last year, how much a hot start really meant to his season. All the questions about 2022 and not necessarily making it in his first cut in the big leagues, and then coming in, getting that confidence to be the left-handed bat in the lineup on opening day. And really thriving, like taking it, running with it, and he was just thriving from there. So I think a hot start does matter as well, especially for younger guys. So that's going to be important for him to get his timing and rhythm back and everything. And then there's Taj Bradley, like you mentioned. He's probably going to be out for most or all of April, I would assume, with the right pec strain that kind of popped up on him as he was getting ready for that start in Sarasota. He's going to take, I think it was 2 weeks down, and then you do have to get the spring training build up. Spring training's for the pitchers. You add one inning every 5 days. It's going to take him some time to build back up to that workload so that he is not just healthy, but ready to pitch innings for this team whenever he does get back in the rotation. So I would assume that'll be probably early May, and that has created an opening in the rotation that we did not think was going to be there.
Yeah. Now with that, when you talked with I'm sure you got a chance to talk with Taj, and I'm sure you got a chance to talk with Cash about it, but does he seem in good spirits? Because I mean there's some other pitchers in baseball that have dealt with some arm issues, pretty prominent pitchers, so I'm sure that they're both glad that he's avoided anything like that.
Yeah, he kind of said it was the best case scenario, which is not necessarily the case because he's going to miss a month of the season. But in terms of like it could have been an arm or a shoulder or something like that, it is a good a good outcome for him in that scenario. And the Rays are going to be patient with it. They're going to take their time with it. It is just a little bit tough because when you look at where the reinforcements are in the rotation, they're coming later in the year. And up front is when you need your guys, and he's not going to be able to be there. And frankly, I was expecting a really big season from him. Still kind of am. I think he's a guy who's pretty well poised to take a leap. So it does think that he's not going to be able to do it right out of the chute, but you're right. I mean, long-term, bigger picture, you want him at his best later in the season, and you just want him healthy at that point.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, in that first start against the Yankees, he looked really, really sharp. He looked, that was probably the best that he's looked. I mean, again, short, small sample size, but looking at his 2023 season, I know a lot of it was, he was put into a situation where I don't think anyone expected him to be there, and he had to kind of pitch his way out of it. But I think with that year of experience, it's definitely going to help him, just in terms of maturity and in terms of, just settling down in the mound, knowing that he's already done it before.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. He looked really good in that Yankee start, and he got, basically their A lineup, in his first spring training outing, and he looked great. I mean, he's got the elite stuff. There's a reason he was a top prospect, right? Like his fastball can get up in the high 90s. The cutter got hit pretty hard last season, and that was the one pitch that he said he really spent the most time working on this offseason, trying to get a little more depth with it. And then you add on the curveball that was, always a go-to pitch for him before, and then a changeup that was kind of a work in progress last season that I think he said at one point last year, the Rays people said it graded out as an 80 grade pitch, which is elite. So that's a pretty good four pitch arsenal as long as he has a track record of durability as well, which not a lot of guys on this staff do. So there's a lot to like about him, a lot of reasons to think he could take a step forward. And that step will probably just start in May rather than April.
Yeah. Now with that, the Rays are definitely going to need some reinforcements. I would assume that might mean, or it's probably going to mean that Uwasawa is going to, I mean, most likely there's a chance that he could start, in that rotation or possibly something like that. I don't know if you would have more about it.
Yeah, I would say not Uwasawa. You're probably going to look at Jake Odorizzi might be a consideration here.
Yeah.
He just came in on a minor league deal, rejoining the Rays today as we're having this conversation. And he's been throwing bullpens. He missed all of last season after right shoulder surgery. He's going to come back and try to ramp up really quick. He'll probably face hitters three times before opening day. And it's going to be a pretty big test to see, is that enough for him to get ready and stretched out and feeling like he's comfortable getting into a big league game right away? Because the other thing kind of slipped under the radar a little bit is he hasn't pitched in a meaningful game since the 2022 postseason because of the injury that caused him all of last season. So he's a consideration. And then the other guy who I actually put into my opening day roster projection yesterday, which was good timing because he was added to the 40-man roster today, was Jacob Wagaspack. He was a non-roster right-hander who came in, spent the last 2 years in Japan.
And was also with the Blue Jays, right?
With the Blue Jays before that. He made his debut with the Trop, in fact, in 2019. Pitched poorly in 2020, kind of got stuck in AAA in 2021. He came in, he spent the entire offseason, basically moved his wife and dog to North Carolina to work at Tread Athletics with old friend Tyler Zombro and his facility up there in North Carolina. Just really just grinding it, trying to get more out of his stuff. He's a big, tall guy. You know, Rays love their big, tall pitchers. Deceptive, kind of a funny Fairbanks-y arm angle coming right over the top at you. Good extension. And then all of a sudden, he's throwing like 2 or 3 miles an hour harder than he ever did when he comes into camp. So you add that to a pretty decently well-rounded arsenal of pitches, the ability to, you know, handle enough innings to go 2 or 3 times through a lineup, and you have a pretty interesting arm. And I don't know if it's going to be him necessarily. Maybe it's Odorizzi. Maybe Wagus Pack find his way to the bullpen. And they have other options in Tyler Alexander, who's getting stretched out, kind of a swing man they got from the Tigers. Chris Davinsky, who was a reliever last season, who they're also stretching out this spring. And you're kind of just trying to hold the fort down for a little bit until Shane Boz is ready. And then later in the year, Jeffrey Springs is ready and probably Drew Rasmussen as well. So a lot of options, less familiar names, but a lot of options.
Have you gotten a chance to talk with Jake since he ended up signing?
Odorizzi, yeah, he was there this morning. It's one of those things where like we get the, you know, the message that Jake Odorizzi signed a minor league contract with the Rays with an invitation to spring training. You walk in and there's his locker. So, and then we spoke to him. Great catching up with him. He still lives in the Tampa Bay area, actually. Okay. So it was pretty interesting hearing him talk about kind of his off season and the fact that, you know, he was holding out for a major league deal, which certainly a guy of his veteran experience is well entitled to, and actually turned down a lot of minor league offers. And the Rays had been on him basically all offseason, you know, watching him throw. Kyle Snyder visited him just to, you know, talk and catch up and offer kind of some his advice or guidance or things like that, you know, based on their previous relationship. And it got to the point where there was a little bit more of an opportunity here. Opening day is getting awful close. And Odorizzi said, you know, there's opportunity, there's comfort, there's familiarity. You know, bring me back. So there he was today with a minor league deal in hand and inside the Rays clubhouse. And he should face hitters, I think, Sunday for the first time and then get into a couple games before spring's over.
Okay. Did he seem excited? I mean, I'm sure he seems excited about being able to go back to the team that he, you know, he started his career at.
Very much so. Yeah. Very excited to kind of get back to it. And I mean, that's so uncertain for guys when they're waiting around through most of spring training, looking for a job and, you know, you're not getting the offers that you want and everything like that. But he was excited to be back. I mean, I agree with what Kevin Cash said this morning. Like, it doesn't look like he's aged a day. Like, he looks, I last dealt with him when before I took over the Pirates beat. So 2014, he looks like the exact same guy. So
yeah, that's awesome. It
won't look terribly different if and when he gets back in a Rays uniform this season.
That's definitely cool. I think that'll be fun for a lot of Rays fans, especially those, you know, that really became fans in like, you know, the 2010s era. It's going to be cool to see him back. You know, one person I did mention, Uesawa, and I know he pitched today. I think this is probably his best start or his best outing since he's, come through the team and signed his minor league deal. But how does he look and what, you know, where do you kind of see him fitting either in the minors or majors?
My guess is he's probably rotation depth in Durham to start the season. You're right, today was by far his best outing. He looked a lot better. He looked really effective against some pretty good Orioles hitters that made the trip to Port Charlotte. The splitter was working. I think that's kind of a difference maker for him. If he's got that going, gets a little bit more kind of ride to the fastball, he's got such a deep arsenal of pitches that he could probably be pretty crafty and effective. But you want to see ideally more swing and miss than he's shown so far this spring. He's had some rough outings. One where he just wasn't getting guys to miss, wasn't getting guys to chase, and then one where he was just out of the zone a little bit too much. I think that was the outing in the Dominican. And then today, it all kind of came together for him a little bit. So that could be an interesting arm. I mean, his kind of hallmark is durability, the fact that he can take the ball, you know, he doesn't really get hurt. He's pitched, I think, over 160, 170 innings in Japan the last three seasons. So there's some things to like there, and I think just the reason that he's here in the first place is kind of intriguing enough that he wanted to go to the place where he could get better. And that is essentially what brought him to the Rays. And he even seemed open at the beginning of spring training. You know, if that happens in Durham for a little bit, that's fine. But this guy's been an all-star in Japan. So he's certainly a lot of pride and a lot of experience there and understanding that he would like to be in the big league rotation at some point. But my guess is at this point, especially since we just saw him Wagus Pack added to the 40 man today, he's probably vaulted over him a little bit on that depth chart.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, I know that, you know, we've seen a lot of the pitchers, a lot of the guys who we're going to be seeing in that opening day or I guess we'll start of the season rotation. I'm not going to lie, Zach Littell looked fantastic yesterday. I mean, it's crazy because he's the third or fourth guy that the Rays have done this to, where, you know, he's a guy that they picked up really out of nowhere. You know, they stretched him out into a starter, and now he's showing, you know, that starter, you know, 1-2-3 pedigree in the rotation. You know, along with him, just how are the guys looking, you know, who are going to be in the rotation to start the year? How are they looking overall?
You're right. Littell looked amazing the other day in Northport. It looks like he just picked right up where he left off last season, which was such a ridiculous and incredible and very Rays story. You know, like all of a sudden the pitcher's just dominating out of nowhere. And you're like, now, where did he come from?
Yeah.
Littell was, you know, a waiver claim. We probably thought there were times where he might have been kicked off the roster had they had to make a move at some point last season. You know, has the track record of starting, much like Springs and Rasmussen did in the minors. And just does the job, throw strikes, you know, is a very good kind of learner in the fact that he's able to take tweaks from Kyle Snyder and the pitching group here, put him into action pretty quick. He changed a lot last season, and he's carried it over into this spring and really just further refined his game. That was a pretty special spring training outing the other day, and the fact that it just seemed like he had everything, and everything was in the zone, and he was doing what he wanted pretty much with every pitch. But just the general ability to pitch those innings and throw strikes and, you know, take the ball every fifth day is going to be super important for this team because, you know, you're looking otherwise at Zach Eflin, who I think has looked good. And that's the kind of guy, like I mentioned earlier, you don't necessarily worry about how he looks in spring training.
Yeah.
He's been there. He's done that. You just want to make sure he's healthy because that's been the issue before last season. Aaron Civale, kind of similar situation. He's very much a tinkerer. So he will, and he throws six pitches, seven pitches. So he'll go into certain outings and he'll be working on two or three. And that's not the way he's going to game plan for a regular season start. So, you know, it hasn't necessarily looked great, but, you know, the stuff is there. The health is there. That's what's most important. And Ryan Pepiot, I actually think through a, you know, confluence of days off and things, I don't think I have seen him pitch in a major league spring game, which I will actually get to do tomorrow as we're recording this in Fort Myers as he faces the Twins. So looking forward to seeing that. There were rave reviews about his, you know, live BPs and his bullpens as he came into camp. You know, after that Tyler Glasnow trade with the Dodgers, the first outing, he admitted he was nervous. The command was a little wild in the first inning, from what I understand. And then the last one just wasn't great. I think that was the one he pitched out of the bullpen after Iwasawa. So, you know, that's the kind of guy I think that you want to see a little bit better performance from as opening day gets closer. So, you know, definitely going to be an interesting outing to watch tomorrow. And I think those are the main guys, right? Those are the Littell, Eflin, Civale, Pepio, and then the fifth spot that we talked about before.
Yeah. And then along with that, it seems like there's some position battles. I know shortstop's definitely a hot, hotly contested one. Catcher, now that Frankie's back, I'm sure that's going to be a hotly contested one. I'm sure DH between Harold and Aranda is going to be, you know, an interesting one. But along with that, it seems like there's a number of guys that are vying for bench spots. I know I just talked with Jake Mangum for a story. He's still, you know, trying to vie for a 40-man spot. He hasn't been on a major league, you know, he hasn't been in the majors at all and has been bouncing around the minors. But it seems like he's really put his best foot forward, and there seems to be a lot of other guys like that. So I guess starting with the bench and then going into position battles, where do you kind of see things going with those?
That's interesting about Mangum. He actually has looked really good. I don't think he's going to make the team out of camp, but it's definitely a guy who you're like, oh, wow, like he can definitely do some things.
Yeah.
Really athletic. Obviously, the Mississippi connection for you. So that's good. Pretty fun guy, too. Fun guy to be around, as I'm sure you've experienced. The bench competition, I would say Jonathan Aranda probably has one of those spots all but locked up.
Okay.
He's a guy that the Rays wanted to create a path to playing time for, just based on he's dominated AAA. He has nothing left to prove there. Like, it's hard to hit better in AAA than he's hit the last
it
two
is.
Years. So you want to clear a spot for him and let him figure it out in the majors. And I think he's taken well to that. You know, he's come in, he's probably had the as good a spring as anybody who's, you know, likely to be on the team come opening day. He's hit well. You know, he's working on an adjustment to better handle velocity, which was kind of an issue for him last season. So that would certainly seem to put in his favor to lock down one of those spots. Where he plays, a little hard to say. You're right. Like, is he going to be sharing DH time with Harold? Could he be getting some time at first base with, you know, giving Yandy a day off or a DH day? And, you know, how does that affect kind of the rest of the mix? But it seems like he's certainly earned a spot on the roster with his bat. Then really I see it as kind of, I guess you want to talk about catcher. Mejia comes in. I think that's probably Alex Jackson's job to lose as far as the backup catcher goes. He hadn't really hit this spring, but I know the Rays liked him. They traded for him at last year's deadline and kind of extended his minor league contract for a reason. They see him as, I mean, we know the Rays, they love their catcher defense. That's the most important thing they can do is
That is
play good
true.
defense, support the pitching staff. And I think they believe Alex Jackson kind of has the ingredients to do that. Big target, big wide frame, pretty good as far as framing and receiving and game calling and things like that. So that seems to be where that's heading, but they did add Mejia for depth. Rob Brantley's in camp, a veteran who's been around for a bit as well. So those are probably the guys that you're looking at for that spot. And it basically for me leaves one spot. If you want to clear up any of the other ones, I'm happy to. But that last spot that kind of, maybe it's Curtis Meade, maybe it's Richie Palacios, maybe it's Oslaivis Bisabe. I think at this point I'd probably lean toward Meade. Palacios has had a nice camp. He does a lot of things. He's got a lot of power for somebody his size. He's fast. He can play all three outfield spots and second base. Left-handed bat, which could come in handy, if there's a situation where you want to be stacking up against righties, probably gonna run more lefties in the lineup. But Meade in a little bit of a similar situation with Aranda, where he hasn't had as much time and as much success in AAA, but that's a guy that I think they probably want to create a path to playing time for. He's top prospect for a reason. He's hit well in AAA. He's one of the more confident and motivated players that I've been around. Fascinating to hear some of the conversations that he has and some of the things that he asked for and the information that he wants to get better. So my guess is that's probably going to be him, but it could shake out a number of different ways, especially depending on the health of Josh Lowe. If he's not ready to go on opening day, do you want Palacios as the left-handed outfield bat? That's something that could come into play where you can kind of mess around with Ahmed Rosario. There's just it's the Rays. They have a million different guys who do a million different things, and they all can fit in various different ways. But that's kind of where I'm leaning right now is Rosario, Meade, Aranda, and Alex Jackson as the four-man bench.
Okay, now are you expecting it to be a platoon situation at short between Caballero and Rosario, or does Caballero have that spot locked up?
I think it's Caballero. They brought him in that trade, traded Luke Rayly to Seattle, basically saw a guy who can capably play shortstop, has the speed, has actually some pretty interesting offensive tools as well. He can hit the ball very hard. He gets on base mostly because he gets hit by a lot of pitches, but that's kind of his game a little bit, is grinding it out. It's a really
He gets on base.
that's all that matters, right? Once you're on first, you can take it from there.
That's true.
It's a really interesting story. A guy who's was came over from Panama and basically just looked for any opportunity, wound up at Chipola College in Florida, didn't speak any English, learned how to figured it out there, learned, finally got drafted by the D-backs, went there. And if you look, this was kind of took me aback when I was looking him up after the trade. Like, he barely played in the minors if you look at the total games played, and he's just been injured. As he told me when I was kind of just asking for his backstory, he's had surgery on all four extremities. He's had hand, leg surgery. So he's been through a
That's
lot. It's a
brutal.
really it's awful to hear about, especially for a guy who's overcome so much and worked so hard and clearly so motivated to be at this level. So got his feet wet with the Mariners a little bit last season, and I think the Rays brought him over to play shortstop at least until Taylor Walls is healthy, and then you kind of have a little bit of a utility option whether it's for him or Walls. Rosario was not a great defensive shortstop last season. His numbers took a pretty big step back there. The Rays think they can help him. At least to back up there, so you're not looking at Curtis Meade as your backup shortstop or something. But Rosario can bounce over to second base and right field, where he spent most of his time this spring, actually. So that gives you kind of an interesting way to platoon people with the Lows and the Lows. That won't get confusing at all when they're being platooned for in the same situation.
Just a little bit.
Just a little. So you could possibly run like Meade at second base against a tough lefty, and Rosario in right against a tough lefty, or Harold comes in right field because he wants to play the outfield more this season. So there's a lot of different ways they can go with it, but I think you're probably looking at Caballero at shortstop on a pretty regular, if not everyday basis, to start the season.
I got two more things. One thing is just the overall vibe of this team. Where do you think it's at right now? Because I know that they've lost a lot, and I'm sure, in spring training, I'm sure a lot of these guys are seeing what what their former teammates are doing. I'm sure they saw what Glass was doing with the Dodgers, throwing five no-hit innings out of nowhere, and things like that. But I mean, just the overall vibe, the overall just how chemistry is going, how guys are gelling together. Where is that at right now?
Pretty good, I would say. I mean, there's new faces, but not a ton. There's still kind of that returning core of guys who've been together for a number of years now, and they're just so good at inviting people into the mix. Kevin Cash creates such a great atmosphere for these guys to come in and be themselves, and You know, they're so good and transparent about expectations. And, you know, so somebody who's coming in and competing for a spot or is worried they're competing for a spot, they're going to be told straight up as you come into spring training, this is what you're here for. This is what we like. This is what we want you to do. And that's just, that puts guys at ease so much. You know, they're not looking over the shoulder. They're not worried. And then you combine that with a pretty good clubhouse atmosphere that is, you know, pretty collaborative, pretty friendly. Guys get to be themselves. They don't necessarily have to fall into line or anything, or, you know, worry about, you know, what veterans might think of them or what veterans want them to do. It's just such a comfortable, relaxed time. And you add to the fact that spring training is the most comfortable and relaxed time of the baseball calendar. It creates a pretty good atmosphere. And look, I mean, it's going to get tougher in the regular season, you know, especially if a couple losses pile up, especially if Tyler Glass now goes nuts. Like, you're going to start to hear some of this stuff. But right now, it's a pretty good vibe. And I mean, part of it's just that they've done it so many years in a row now. Like, there is the expectation to win. And it's, you know, it almost is independent of which players are in the clubhouse that they believe they're going to go out and put their best foot forward and win. And I think the front office has even encouraged that a little bit with some of the moves they have made this spring. You know, you bring in free agents, you bring in veterans, that kind of doubles as a vote of confidence in the group that you have to say, we like this team enough to spend more money on it. We like this team to complement it. You know, if this piece is missing, we want to go out and get it. So Rosario was big in that regard. Phil Maton was really big in that regard. And then Jake Odorizzi helps as well along those lines. So pretty good, I would say. I mean, you know, if everyone's undefeated in spring training, so that's always a good time. You know, bad teams are optimistic in spring training even, but I don't think this is a bad team.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to ask is, you know, that rolling into what happened over the weekend with them going to the DR, I'm sure that was a great experience. I know, you know, one of the big things was Junior. I know there was that photo of him watching the fireworks. I know he's you know, down in minor league. First of all, is Will still the photographer for the team?
Will Vragovich, yep.
Oh my, was he the one who took that photo?
I believe so. Ivy from the Tampa Bay Times also took a great photo as well. All of them, all of the Rays creative people are so good. Ivy does such a good job for the Times. Like, but that photo, Junior, I walked by it. Actually, we're coming back. The interview room is down the right field line.
Yeah.
So I'm walking by it and I see, and this is like the difference between a writer and a photographer.
Yeah.
I took a note saying like, that's how his day ended. Like, he said it was the best day of his life. And I took a note like, that's how this day ended, him watching the fireworks in his hometown.
Yeah.
But like, the photographers are so good. They find the perfect angle, beautiful shot, perfect timing. Like, that was amazing stuff. That's a great point.
Yeah, no, that was such a beautiful thought. And I know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of Rays fans were hopeful that he was going to make it. I think it made more sense that he was going to, you know, end up going to minor league camp, because I think it's going to really, really help, especially with him. I'm sure he's going to be going to Durham after this and get some playing time and getting to that point where hopefully he'll be able to make the roster. But, you know, just with that trip, the guys who ended up going on that trip, I know you were able to go on that trip as well. But, you know, first off, how was your experience with that? And then what did you kind of garner from the experience of the players, especially those who are from the DR that were able to make that trip?
It was really cool and eye-opening for me. I had never been, which is always like a little bit of an embarrassing thing in baseball. Like, I've covered the sport for, it's going on my 15th year now, and I'd never been there and seen, you know, where so many of these great players come from. I never seen the Rays Academy in the Dominican until this trip. You know, seeing a game there where these guys play winter ball and getting a feel for the passion and the energy around that, it was really special. But it was nowhere near as special for me as it was for the guys who were from there and got to play in front of friends and family that had, you know, never seen them play in a major league uniform in person. Like, so many guys had those stories. And, you know, it's not just Junior and Jose Siri, but it's, you know, the guys who are on the minor league side are sent back to minor league camp shortly after that trip, who got to put on a Rays uniform, you know, a big league uniform, and play and pitch in front of their family and friends, you know, in their home country. It meant a lot to so many people there. It was really special to see. You mentioned a guy like Junior and Jose, and, you know, Ronnie Simon's probably not a name that a ton of Rays fans know a great deal about, but he was a Dominican Winter League MVP this past offseason, and he was like mobbed by reporters during pregame batting practice and everything. And it's just really special to see, you know, what baseball means to them, what their home country means to them, but then also what they mean to baseball in their home country. Really a great trip. Glad they got to do it. I kind of agree with Kevin Cash and what some of the other players said, that series would have been even more fun if those games mattered, if those were regular season games. That was such a fun time, such a great atmosphere, even though I think there's probably 11,000 fans, maybe the most attended game. And like Rodney Linares, the bench coach, said, like, it felt like 25,000. Like, that was, it's such a great atmosphere, such a great vibe. And it's cool for the Red Sox too, on the other side of it. Like, Rafael Devers went home, Brian Bayo signed his extension there. Like, that's super cool for him to sign a long-term extension in front of family and friends, with Big Poppy barging into the interview room and, you know, commanding attention as he always does. It was a really cool trip, top to bottom. It was a long 60 hours. Did not sleep a ton, but what a great time.
I'm sure, yeah, it sounds like well worth it. Well worth the lack of sleep for sure.
That's also my experience as a father, going back to how we started.
Yeah. Hey, it all works out. Well, it all works out in the end. Last thing before I give you the floor to make sure everyone knows where you can find your stuff. Where is Florida ending up in the tournament?
Oh man, that's a great question. I have not done a nearly a good enough job following here recently, so I'm gonna plead ignorance and then just pessimistically say it's not a deep run.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. I know there's a lot of USF fans that are going crazy because they've been having a great year. So
That's been super cool to see too. I love seeing basketball, and I grew up a basketball fan almost as much as anything, so seeing that come alive in the area has been awesome.
yeah, no, I'm definitely hopeful for it. I know they beat the crap out of, I think it was East Carolina today in the quarter. So going on to the semis, hopefully they go all the way and get a chance to go into the tournament. I think that'd be fun for the area for sure. But hey, Adam, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. Hopefully this is the first of a couple times coming on this year. But where can people find your work at online?
MLB.com and RaysBaseball.com. All my stories are on there. You can also subscribe to the Rays Beat newsletter that we do twice a week. It'll land in your inbox on Tuesday and Friday. Really enjoyed that kind of platform a little bit, probably a little more direct and to the reader, while still having the space to kind of explore topics, do a little analysis, things like that. So very much appreciate a subscribe on that front.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, again, Adam, thanks so much for coming on, for everyone listening. Thanks so much for listening to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. We really appreciate you guys as always. Make sure to use our affiliate links, our In the Clutch link, our SeatGeek link, our 1771 Designs link. We're really trying to, grow this as much as possible. So we really appreciate your help on all those fronts. It's Raise the Roof, in all caps for both SeatGeek and In the Clutch, and then Raise the Roof, RTR is capitalized for 1771 Designs. Make sure to follow us on social media, Raise the Roof TB on both Twitter, X and Instagram. And then for the podcast, keep supporting us as you guys have been. So appreciate all the love there. But thanks so much for listening, and as always, raise up.